Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a beautiful 7th of July, 2020. Coming up in this week's episode of the Crusty Connect podcast, I will be dissecting the Corey Huron incident. Was he crazed or desperate? Well, we'll have to see. And plus, more political blunders. All that and more come at the Crusty Connect podcast. Stay tuned.
Wait, hard. Because I am hard, you will not like me. There is no racial bigotry here. Here you are all equally.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Crusty Connect podcast. I'm your host, Crusty Connect, and as I mentioned in the intro, yes, we have an issue with a young man, or not really a young man, but a middle-aged man, Corey Huron, who stormed, basically, Rideau Hall with his truck, and he had a few rifles in his possession. Now, it made headlines because, of course, well, it would make headlines. Any sane person all of a sudden grabs their vehicle through a government gate has an issue of some sort. Now, based how the media has spun it, right, of course, you know, he's a man, frustrated, he has guns, and they keep emphasizing on the fact that he had guns in his truck, so obviously he might have had intent on doing something, but let me summarize it from my own point of view from what I've read. Now, I'll be leaving links at the end of this podcast in the description section of the podcast/video. You decide. But the way the media spins it as, and here's a guy, blue collar, owns his own business, family man, friendly, based on other people's opinions and people who have known him. Took it upon himself to load his vehicle up with a couple of shotguns, a rifle, and a pistol to drive to Rideau Hall to apparently talk with Mr. Trudeau. Now, I'm not condoning what he did, ladies and gentlemen. And as I mentioned in the intro, was he crazed or desperate? Based on the times that we are facing right now, the times we have lived through the past 4 months, in regards to the beer bug, and in regards to how our government has handled public safety, of course, the old OIC when it came to banning guns on May 1st, based on an uneducated fucking principle that Mr. Bill Blair and Christopher Freeland and Sockboy Peter Pan JT have come up with. I can hear the frustration, and I can see the frustration that a lot of us Canucks have. As I said before, I'm not condoning what Mr. Huron did. I'm not promoting what he did. But I wouldn't call him crazed. I would call him desperate. Right? And desperate people do make bad decisions. We've seen the dynamic all the time. We've heard the dynamic. Someone steals a loaf of bread. Someone robs a liquor store. Someone robs a gas station because they needed the money for something. Now, other aspects of people needing the money, yeah, okay, we've always heard that it's always because of drugs or because of a gambling habit of some sort, and someone needed a quick buck to get something paid off and get done and dealt with. But the more I read about this individual, he was a business owner, right? Family man, a provider. And yeah, he was a reservist. He was with the Canadian Rangers. And I've personally worked with the Canadian Rangers a couple of times in my career. And I have never seen any more qualified bushmen in my life who are qualified in the aspects of winter survival, winter camping, hunting, basically just all around decent human beings from all walks of life, ladies and gentlemen. Now, my concern still is with how the media has spun it. Now, I'll leave, like I say, a couple links there in the description on how they assessed it. But I think there's more to the story than just a guy loading up a truck, driving 28 hours to Ottawa from where he lived in Manitoba to have a little talk with Justin. Now, I can see his point of view. I can see how desperate it was, because here's this clown, Mr. Sockboy, I'm going to give $900 million to the WE Foundation, or a contract costing $900 million to the WE Foundation. And I can see why there's desperation out there. Since this whole issue started with the beer bug, the powers that be have said, no, don't wear a mask. Yes, wear a mask. No, don't wear gloves. Yes, wear gloves. Oh, nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. Oh, yes, there's plenty to worry about, plenty to see here. So on the bus, off the bus, on the bus, off the bus, with all these individuals that have these so-called qualifications, to dictate terms to the rest of the Canadian people. And yet the federal government, not being transparent enough to tell us exactly where this money is going, where that money is going, who's getting paid here, who's getting paid there. You know, April 1st, Parliament okays a big raise for all its sitting members, and more money going to third world dictatorships, and more money going to the UN, and the UN saying no to Canada for a seat. And thankfully, that's a different story. And I can see why Mr. Huron was frustrated. You know, because of this whole pandemic and word salads and non-answers that a lot of our leaders have given us, and not just the Liberal leaders, ladies and gentlemen, we've also had a lot of non-answers from Conservative leaders and NDP alike. We've all had drama, tamper tantrums, and other bullshit, and other, oh fuck, the list goes on, with Mr. Jagmeet Singh screaming racism in Parliament just because someone didn't agree with them. Now, I don't agree with the Bloc Québécois, I don't, but when you watch that footage, you realize that he said nothing racist or instigated anything racist. And I, for one, am getting sick and tired of hearing all this racial BS that's been going on in light of what happened to Mr. Floyd down south. Well, but when I look at Mr. Huron, like I said, I don't condone what he did. I don't condone his actions whatsoever, but I can understand why he was frustrated, and I can understand why he did it. Right? I can understand why any grown man or woman, for that matter, would steal something to feed their kids, or why any person would do something terrible to keep themselves alive in the name of survival. The media has spun him as some kind of psycho and some kind of weirdo. Maybe he did have some mental problems that no one saw. That's a fact. I do suffer from PTSD, but I went out and I got help with it. And it's because of those people that have helped me with it. It's helped me overcome a lot of obstacles that were facing me head on. But I never wanted to take a gun or drive my truck in through something and destroy something. I have felt like it. I've had those thoughts. Don't get me wrong, ladies and gentlemen. That's the reality of mental complications. You have thoughts. It's the actions that speak louder. Now, he took the wrong action, as far as I'm concerned. He took the wrong approach. And sweet, you know, as irony would have it, of course, you know, the Prime Minister was not there, nor was the Governor General in her space-time continuum speech. Fuck. But I just find there's not a lot of information that's being told to us in this situation as well. There's not a lot of information not being spread around properly in regards to what he did. What was his background other than being a family man? Did he have troubles with mental illness? Is there proof of that? Or is he just a Canuck saying, look, I've had enough of your shit and I'm going to fucking do something about it? All right. Regardless of who he served with or where he served or what he was doing, regardless of his profession, there's an example of Canadians out there that are getting really pissed off and frustrated the way things are going, right? And I'm not telling anybody by any means to get up and grab your rifles, jump in your trucks, and then drive to Ottawa. I'm not promoting that at all. But the way the media has spun it, of course, anytime when someone speaks out against the status quo, they're always deemed as crazy and deemed as, insufficient. Isn't that kind of like the communist way? You know, or any kind of status quo for that matter. It doesn't matter if the church was in charge or if the state was in charge. Someone breaks from the status quo and all of a sudden they're deemed as heretics, you know, or as disturbers, nonconformists, right? So I feel bad for Mr. Huron. But I'm not advocating anyone to drive a truck through a gate to sort Justin out. As much as I loathe the man, and I do, you've heard me say this, ladies and gentlemen, I loathe the cretin. I loathe his party on everything they have done. Okay? And what's going to come tomorrow, too, you know, for July 8th, you know, of course, Bill Morneau, I can't speak English today. Anyway, the moron, sum it all up, Mr. Bill Morneau, sitting there talking about the financial or economic snapshot that he's promoting. So we're not going to get a balanced budget. We're not going to get any kind of idea of fiscal responsibility that he's put in charge of. We're going to get a snapshot, you know, more like a slap shot in the face and how many more billions were in the fucking hole because of these clowns' decisions, right? And of course, how convenient for them not to really have Parliament open to discuss it and debate it as they should do democratically. So when it comes to being crazed and desperate, I can see why Mr. Huron did what he did. I'm not justifying it. I'm not saying that he was right. But a part of me is saying he's not wrong either. Anyway, tell me how you think about this. KrustyBCanuck67@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook under Krusty Canuck, Instagram, Krusty Canuck. You can also find me on Twitter and the new platform Parlay, too. I gave that a shot. And really, it's not a bad platform, ladies and gentlemen. And contrary to the so-called MSM's interpretation of it, no, it is not full of white supremacists. So get that idea out of your fucking head right now. Anyway, carrying on with the craze and desperation. I'm not, like I said, I'm not promoting what he did, ladies and gentlemen, but I can see why he did it. You know, I can see why that Mr. Huron was frustrated. His business was compromised. His livelihood was compromised. Everything that he's invested gone to crap because of so-called dictatorial reforms, right? Of so-called safety management that our federal government has failed in. And I will call them failures in it, right? We're always told as kids, you know, always plan for a rainy day, you know, save your money, put this away, do this. And, you know, my wife and I, we have saved our money. We put things away. You know, we've looked forward to a day where we actually can use it to keep ourselves afloat. Unfortunately, we have a federal government who doesn't think that way either, too. So instead of actually taking responsibility for its social bullshit and its fiscal bullshit, they're probably going to use this as an excuse right now, too, to emphasize more gun confiscation and create new laws, you know, for the sake of public safety. Right. To Mr. Huron's family, if you are listening to this, my deepest sympathies. And I'm sorry that you've had to go through the struggles that you have. And that's for every Canadian family out there, and that's for every Canadian worker and every so-called non-essential service that the government has deemed. My deepest sympathies. I'll do what I can to give you a hand to get your voice out there. But I shake my fucking head on the sheer fucking stupidity that the mainstream media has promoted for this individual. I'd like to see some more journalists actually dig deeper to find the story about this individual rather than just speculation, you know? Because you see it right there. The people that have known him never thought of him as someone who was odd or touched or crazy or deemed unsocial, right? Yeah, he did a stupid thing. We're all guilty of doing stupid things one way or the other, ladies and gentlemen. It's part of life. But 46 years old, takes it upon himself to drive to Ottawa to do, I guess, whatever intention he had. And yet the mainstream is just treating him like he's some kind of monster. Let's try to figure out why he did it. And I've already given you some suggestions, so you decide. Anyway, here's a word from my sponsors.
Rampage Coffee Company. Extremely delicious coffee. Roasted with purpose, then delivered to your favorite mug. Our delicious coffee comes packed with enough attitude to punch you out of your morning slippers. Here at Rampage Coffee Company, we provide you superior quality coffee that is delivered to the doorsteps of any Canadian who is ready to take their coffee game to the next level. We hand select quality beans to be a small batch roasted by our head roaster, which ensures unparalleled attention to details and amazing quality in all our coffee. Cheers to a freshly roasted kick-ass coffee. Rampage Coffee Company. Use the code CRUSTYCANUCK to get free shipping on the Rampage Sampler.
This is Brian Boucher, the new CEO of Kanawha Gold Corp. We have gold at 99% purity with discounts ranging from $100 up to $200 off the ounce. This is the right place to buy, from 2-gram cards to 400-ounce bricks. We have any quantity of gold you are looking for. We also sell by the ton, not like your ex-wife. Visit us today at canundgold.com, canundgold.com.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Canungold.com, good bunch of people there at Canun Social Network, also investing in the gold market, so give them a shot. And give Canund.com, the social network, a shot too. Canadian company, much like Facebook, but has promoted Canadian jobs and Canadian content, as well as no censorship. And the folks at Rampage Coffee, good people. I've talked to them personally. And please consider buying their product. They have an excellent selection of basically homemade coffee. Anyway, carrying on with the whole crazed and desperate. I'm seeing the crazed and desperate more so on the social spectrum and more so on the whole political divide that our leaders have promoted. And I will say that because there's an article that came out of the Western Standard, which is really quite the interesting read. I'll leave a link in the description too. They have basically said, you should give communism a chance. This comes from an ex-NDP member from the provincial parliament. Let me look for it here. It was quite interesting to see how this clown was talking. I shake my head. I'm just so flabbergasted. I know there's still an abundance of people, young and older, who think communism is the way to go. Even though it will compromise your personal freedom, your health, your longevity, your brain, and of course, all around freedom. Now, just let me find it here. I had it queued up earlier. However, it's my show, so pardon me. But it's just quite the interesting rant this individual had. Where did I see it here? Here we go. Yes, it was. Here we go, yes. Yes, from the Western Standard Online. Like I said, I'll leave a link to the article here. So, based on the Western Standard in today's news, former Alberta NDP minister, people shouldn't jump to conclusions about communism. And hats off to Mr. Dave Naylor, who wrote this. It was published about 4 hours ago. Yeah. I know some people will see the word communist and jump to all kinds of conclusions, but I say give it a read before you do that. It may surprise you, Shea Anderson said. Just give communism a try. You might like it. That's the message from former Alberta NDP cabinet minister Shea Anderson, who served as municipal affairs minister under Rachel Notley's government. Okay, this is a good read. I know some people will see the word communist and jump to all kinds of conclusions, but I'd say give it a read before you do that. It may surprise you, Anderson tweeted Monday in response to an article written by Elizabeth Rowley, the leader of the Communist Party of Canada. Yeah, I've seen her. Yeah, oh my God, you know. The article in a communist website called The People's Choice covered a variety of topics, including the COVID-19 pandemic and the rioting over police racism. The pandemic has underlined all the ills of capitalism. These include privatization and deregulation, tax cuts for the rich and corporations, trade deals that destroy manufacturing and secondary industry, low wages and precarious work, growing poverty and insecurity, Rowley wrote. 80% of COVID-related deaths in Canada have occurred among residents and workers in long-term care, and most of these are private for-profit operations that are understaffed, underfunded, and largely unregulated. Well, all these LTCs must be brought under public health care and treated as public service with federal standards, needs-based staffing, and funding. It is now clear that everyone that we're not all in this together. The wealthy have managed quite nicely, but the poor and unemployed and those living and working in cramped and unaffordable housing without childcare are in desperate straits and much more likely to become infected by the virus. While Cuba and China have been providing supplies, equipment, and teams of healthcare workers to countries around the world, private producers of essential supplies and equipment in the capitalist countries have raised their prices, selling to the highest bidders. In the wake of race riots in the U.S., Rowley called for the disarming of police forces. The Central Committee received party executives' previous issued statements supporting the protests and demanding an end to police killings and the systemic racism and violence against Black, Indigenous, and racialized peoples. Yeah, okay. Well, I'll let you read the rest of this yourselves. I get so tired of this goddamn bullshit. Okay? I'm sick and tired of people trying to capitalize in what a handful of police officers did. Okay? And no, communism is not the answer. Okay? Let's see. The CC reiterated the party's long-standing demands for radical reform of policing. These include charging, prosecuting, and sentencing police for crimes such as murder, rape, and assault, demilitarizing police forces and disarming most police units, and putting an end to racial profiling and carding, enacting strong civilian control over police, slashing police and military budgets, and redirecting those funds to civilian and social spending, and abolishing CSIS, the CSE, and the RCMP, as well as anti-terrorist legislation that threatens civil and democratic rights. Okay, well, Ms. Commie and Mr. Anderson, you give me an example of a communist country that has flourished with your utopic ideas. Okay? You give me an example of a communist country that has done wonderful things in the name of its people and their proletariats. Okay? There's always going to be somebody in charge, and there's always going to be somebody behind that somebody with a knife behind their back to stick it in that somebody's back later on. How has the 20th century told you that communism is the way to go? Right? See, you keep promoting this proletariat bullshit. You keep promoting this divide. Communism has divided people. It divided people when it first came together because it was so-called invented by a guy who never worked a day in his life, Karl Marx, who grew up very privileged, by the way, died penniless because he never worked a fucking day in his life. But then, tell me how it's going to work. Oh, it's because of capitalism a disease is rampant. Oh, okay. Yeah. And maybe you might have a point when it comes to logistics because, yeah, there weren't enough masks, there weren't enough this to go around because people never thought about it. What's stopping Canada from manufacturing goods? Maybe it's because of some of the deals that were done behind closed doors with Communist China and other corporations thereof, right? So put that in perspective. And if you think communism is the answer, great. So let's say if you're hypothetically elected into this Communist Manifesto, where are you going to sit? You're going to sit in Parliament like King Justin, or are you going to destroy that too? Okay? I'm getting sick and tired of these people that want to destroy statues and change the system because, oh, we're doing this for the workers. If you cared about the goddamn workers, you'd be helping the workers out rather than telling them when to work and how to work and who to work for. Okay? Shit simple, but I'm not going to dwell on this. So yeah, it goes to promote more of the whole desperation instead of the craze. Okay? I, for one, am not an advocate for communism. Now, we live in a pseudo-socialist society to some aspects, right? Via your tax dollars, you spend municipally, you get your garbage looked after, you get your plumbing looked after, or correction, your water. Plumbing, you got to pay for, but you get your water looked after. And different aspects, right? I, for one, I'm getting sick and tired of paying land taxes on land that I apparently own. But we'll figure that out later. But for anyone to sit there and to point fingers at an individual who took it upon himself to make a change, right? And to dissect him like he's some kind of madman, right? They said the same thing about the Danforth shooter, too. Oh, he had mental problems. It's okay. That man had a motive more than just mental issues, right? Just look up the Danforth shooter and just see all the fucking word salad and tongue twisters they threw in there to justify what he did, even though we know it was a terrorist action. And maybe Corey Hearn might have done a terrorist action too. Maybe if he did pass through the gate, who knows what he would have done? Would he have shot the Prime Minister, the Governor General? Would he have harmed his family? We don't know. That's the thing. In regards to the confrontation he had with police or not, whether it was a silent confrontation or a peaceful resolution, great. But I wouldn't call him crazed. I'd call him desperate. And that's an example of a lot of Canadians out there. That's just my opinion, ladies and gentlemen. And even more so, using those situations to promote any kind of ideologue like those fucking commies I mentioned earlier isn't going to help us at all. It's not going to help us at all, ladies and gentlemen. We have to fight for democracy. We have to fight for freedom. That's what's coming down. And even more so a fight for freedom, because I think what the city of Toronto and Montreal now are going to put a mandatory mask wearing out in public, effective tomorrow, just before or just after Mr. Moron Monroe or Moro promotes his economic snapshot, right? Well, I don't live in Toronto, but to my fans out there who do listen, who are from the Toronto area, I'm going to tell you don't do it. That's just me. I'm going to tell you don't wear the mask. If you walk into an establishment that demands that you wear a mask, okay, keep one handy. You know? But business owners too. I'm saying to all of you, don't comply. Don't give in to the crazed. And don't become desperate. Don't give in to it. Right? Enough is enough of this crap. Right? We've got leadership in this country that does not want to take part in the new NAFTA negotiations, doesn't want to take part in anything on the world other than the UN. And of course, that reminds me too, Mr. Bob Rae was selected to be ambassador of the UN because of his work with the Rohingya Muslims there in Asia. Even though I do remember Bob Rae as being the premier of Ontario, where things went to shit under him, with the exception of him telling insurance companies to smarten up. But that's, you know, 30 years ago, 31 years ago, to be precise. But still, there's a career politician living off the fat of the land by being Mr. Virtue Signaler. Yeah. Desperate times, eh? Yeah. So we really got to start questioning this authority, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, I am not condoning what Mr. Huron said or what he did, but I can see why he did it. Right? I can see why he did it. And I'm not going to call him crazy. I'm not going to call him with somebody with mental issues. But disturbed nonetheless. Disturbed at the fact that we have leadership in this country that does not want to take fucking responsibility for itself. That does not want to stand up for Canadians as a whole. Okay? And that's all Canadians. All colors, all creeds. So to the racial coattail riders out there who claim victimhood, give your head a shake and pull your head out of your ass. Okay? I actually had a conversation with somebody on my Facebook feed in regards to racial divide. And I said, you give me an example of an institution in this country that has denied you access or denied anyone access to its services or its fundamentals because of race. And yet every college application, every university application, every government position, every other position for that matter you apply for, whether it be on a part-time or full-time basis, you will find a page or a page and a half dedicated to finding out your fucking identity. Does that really matter? Right? I remember job applications where it was simple. Your social insurance number, your name, your address, your age, your level of education, and then your background, i.e. your working background. Where have you worked before? Right? And you used to get bonus points too if you can actually attach a handful or more of references to said job application. It was never a big deal. And I, as far as I can remember, every establishment I worked in, you had a mix of persons. Hell, I worked at Burger King when I was 14 years old, for God's sakes, just before my 15th birthday. That was a diverse bunch. I worked in a Chinese restaurant. That was a very diverse place. I worked at Duracell Batteries. Very diverse place. I did the punk rock thing, played in a couple of bands, right? Worked in lots of restaurants. I worked at Loblaws, a very diverse place. So it was never an issue. But now it's an issue. Why? Because you want to categorize people? Put them in this group, put them in that group? No. We just can't treat people like people. We constantly have to fucking put categories there, which is a fucking joke. Okay? Anyhow, back to the craze and desperation. I can see why Mr. Heron did what he did. Again, like I said, I'm not going to justify what he did. I'm not saying what he did was a great thing. But can you really blame him? Anyway, you tell me. KrustyBCanuck67@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Twitter under my name there. You can also find me on Instagram here in the Podbean and leave comments, suggestions, all that good stuff on YouTube as well. Please click the bell. And comment, like, share around. Get the algorithm going. Help us independent folk get our word out there. Just so people can start thinking again and stop being afraid, for fuck's sakes. And if you do like what you see and you feel like donating, please donate if you can. I'll leave all my donation pages there in the description. You can decide if you donate. And thank you very much to those people who have donated. Mr. Crowley, thank you. Mr. Hudak, thank you very much. Miss Overton, thank you very much. Mr. Sammy, thank you once again for your contribution. As I mentioned, I was going to give an honorable mention, so there it is. And if you do feel like donating, please do. If you give $5 to $10 a month committed, you will get a free t-shirt from my Teespring line. So just let me know via email what t-shirt you would like. I'll grab it for you, and I'll mail it to you no charge. That's if you give a $5 to $10 commitment at any one of my donation pages. And I also try to give 30% to the Veterans Association Food Bank. I'll leave a link in the description as well, too. They are a great charity, a bunch of great people out of Calgary, Alberta, who assist and help veterans in need, and they help the community, too. They assist disabled veterans with making walkways and sedgeways for wheelchairs, etc. They give the community, and they have drives, and they just help guys out. So if you give them a $25 donation or more, they will give you a receipt, so it'll come in handy, hopefully, next tax time. That's assuming we'll have a government that's not going to screw us in the chuff. And, well, yeah, try that out, ladies and gentlemen. So, I have been Krusty Canuck on this beautiful 7th of July, 2020. And I hope we can see the light someday and try to find some more clarity and get back to being prosperous. Now, I'm a believer in democracy. I'm a believer in freedom. I'm a believer in liberty. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. Do it well. Just don't hit people, take their stuff. Right? Let us try to see the light. Just common courtesy and respect for each other to the best of our abilities. Let's hopefully we can get back to the day where we actually can elect a politician that will own his or her shit and stand their ground firmly and promptly when it comes to internal affairs without giving money away, trying to look like a fucking bigwig. But maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm being a little too far-fetched. But I think you know what I mean. Right? Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, I have been Krusty Canuck on this beautiful 7th of July, 2020. I'm going to go outside and finish up with a little bit of carpentry there. I got to fix the staircase. But as I've always said, take care of yourselves, your friends, and your loved ones. Do what you can to make light of this darkness that we're facing every day. And remember, humanity and merit wins the day. Take care. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Sweetheart. Because I am hard, you will not like me.
Yes, sir.
There is no racial bigotry here.